Glad to have you here tonight. I thought that Brother Pender Friday night was going to steal my thunder, and he spoke along the three doors. I want to speak on that tonight in the gospel. And I have a door that I had made by a man in Alabama. I asked him, could he make me a door? And he did. So what we want to do tonight is the three doors. The one is the open door, and that's the door of grace, door of salvation, and that door is always open. It's not closed yet. And then you've got the blood sprinkled door, if you'll notice, on the side and the lintel. And then we've got the closed door, which speaks of the closed door of the heart of the unsaved man. So, shall we look at it from that standpoint? And turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Before we read, shall we pray again? Father, we need the power of the Spirit of God. We know that we have Him, but we want Him to have us in full control of our mind, our thoughts, our words, that You bring to mind the things we've studied. And Father, the words that we may speak will be Thy words. The message will be used of Thee to reach the heart and the conscience of those that is in this room that's not saved. Father, only the Spirit of God can convict and convert and bring to Christ. And so, Father, we cannot do it ourselves. It's no power of our own that we have. Thy ability and Thy power is what we have, and You've given it to us. So we wait now before Thee for Thy power, Thy Spirit to move upon us. We know He's here in His omnipresent as well as indwelling of a believer, indwelling the local church as well as the whole church. So we thank You, Father, for His presence. We know He delights to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ because He was sent for that purpose to exalt Him. And Father, we know that He will do that if we let Him. So we thank You for this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 10. If you will notice that John chapter 10 is looked at as the Good Shepherd chapter. And I believe it was also the Lord Jesus had in mind that the man that was thrown out of the synagogue in the ninth chapter, the blind man, because he had believed on Christ as his Savior. And so, this blind man certainly found the Good Shepherd, didn't he? And he needed him, and needed some comfort, and I believe no doubt that this was written for the benefit of this man as well as for all of his saints since then. I'll just read the one verse in verse 9 for right now and look at it for a few moments. I am the door. Well, let's open this door, because that door is open. I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. He didn't say, I am a door. There's no side door. There's no back door to heaven. We know when the Lord Jesus said that He was a door, He was not talking about an actual wooden door as I have here. He was talking about the only entrance to heaven. The only way. The only way you can be saved tonight is through Christ. You remember when Jesus said to Thomas, I believe it was, in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And note the next statement, no man, this is all conclusive, no man can come to the Father but by Me. That's why he said, by me, if any man enter in, by me, it must be Christ alone to enter in. So we see that he's the open door. Now, I don't know how long this door is going to be open when we look at it from the standpoint of the day of grace. We believe this is the dispensation of grace, the church age. Someone has called it the Holy Spirit's day. Very well could be, because he's doing the work today in exalting Christ through his servants and through those who are gifted to preach the word and through the church as a whole. So I don't know when this door will close. I know it will close at the rapture as to this day of grace. But that doesn't mean that the day of salvation and the day of grace or the door of grace will still be closed forever. That God will be saving souls in the tribulation period through his grace. It'll still be open in that respect. But as to the dispensation, it'll be closed at the rapture. You that have heard the message many times and know the word, you that have heard it and rejected it willfully, deliberately, and after the rapture, you won't accept Christ. If you won't accept him now in this day of grace when God is reaching out in his mercy, and if you have deliberately, that's because we've got to qualify these people that can't be saved after the rapture. They are those who knew the truth, who knew it was the way, who have rejected the truth, and therefore they have deliberately said no to God's salvation. And since they did that, God gives them a delusion that they might believe the lie. The lie of Satan, that they might be condemned because they believe not the truth, that they might be saved. I wouldn't be in your shoes for nothing, my friend, tonight, if you know the way, if you know that Jesus Christ is salvation to your soul, and you have all your life willfully, deliberately rejected that salvation, I wouldn't be in your shoes for nothing in this world. And that Christ would come tonight. But it's still time for you to enter this door. I hope you will before the service is over. How was this door open? That's a good question. It was not opened by the life that Jesus lived. And no one ever lived like he lived. He lived the perfect life because he was a perfect man. He is the God-man. He is God and he is man. They're so woven together. He's one glorious person called the God-man. The man Christ Jesus who became a man so he could die for you and die for me. Now, how was that door opened? Not by his miracles, not by his preaching, but by his death. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, not liveth his life for the sheep. Yes, he lives for us now after we're saved. And he keeps us. You see, he saves us and he keeps us, we who are saved. And unsaved friend, don't be afraid that you can't hold on to the end, because God didn't ask you to hold on to the end. He asked you to trust him as your Savior, and he keeps you. He wants you to believe that as much as believing that he died for you, that he can keep your soul from now to the rapture or now to death. That's true in the Word of God. So he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I laid down my life for the sheep. This is how this door of grace was opened. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I want you to note verse 17. Therefore, doth my Father love me? And I want you to know why. Notice why he loved you in this particular case here. Because, notice it, I laid down my life. The Father loved his Son for laying down his life for the sins of the whole world, for all of mankind. Because his Son coming to this earth was God's only remedy for sinners. And the Lord Jesus willingly came. He was not made to come by the Godhead. He came willingly. He came lovingly. He came voluntarily to die for you on a cross and shed his blood and rise from the dead to give to you his life. That's why the Father loved him, because he brought to this earth God's plan of salvation. God's great purpose of redemption was brought by his Son. Therefore the Father loved him for laying down his life. Read on with me in this verse. Because I laid down my life that I might take it again. And note the next verse. No man hath taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I want to say something before we move on in this verse. There's not a one of you in this room that can die of your own power. You just can't bow your head and say, I'm going to die. Unless you do something to inflict death. Some will have to inflict death to you, or you do it to yourself before you can die. But the Lord Jesus bowed his head, the scripture says, and yielded up the spirit. He literally, voluntarily, of the power that the Father gave him, he bowed his head on his bosom and gave up his life on that cross of his own power. Now that's the only one that can do that, and he did that for you. Voluntarily. In love. No, he says, I have power to lay it down. Power. We're saying much about power tonight. The power of the blood. And I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Here we have his death and his burial and his resurrection in this verse. He laid it down and he took it up. And he wants to give it to you. That's how this door of grace was opened. And it's been open almost 2,000 years. Unsaved friends, could I say something to try to shake you a little bit? And stir up the Christians. Did you know that we've just got a little over 7 years till the year 2000? 2 millenniums since the church is being built, started on the day of Pentecost. Even scientists, unsaved scientists, are saying this, something's going to happen, some great catastrophe is going to take place in this world, and it's going to be soon. But they don't know what it is, because they don't believe this book. You see, we are wiser than the scientists. Yes, we are, because we've got God's wisdom right here in this book. And we know what's going to happen. Don't run to some palm reader. They can tell you some things, but don't run to them. They're of Satan. The only reading you need to read is right here in the book, not in palms. So we can see then that our time is short. I believe the day of grace is about to close. I like what I heard Billy Graham say the other night on TV. That he believes that the Lord Jesus is right at the threshold of the door. Just about. ready to go when the Father summons him to come and get his church. Call all his saints to himself. If you remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there's three things going to happen when he descends from heaven. His own voice is going to shout out, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. I understand in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, where we have the feast, the different feasts, and the feast of trumpets has to do with the fact of God's calling or gathering his people to himself. The trumpet's going to sound. I don't know that the world's going to hear it or not, but it's going to sound. We're going to hear it. We're going to hear his voice for the first time, his audible, blessed voice, and it's going to be a shout that awakes all the bodies of the dead saints, bodies in the grave, and we're going to hear that shout, and we'll be caught up together with him, those saints in the air, to meet him, and that we'd be with the Lord forever. So that door was opened by his death, burial, resurrection. Now let's go back to the verse a little bit, and look at the verse again. I am the door, by me if any man enter in. You notice something that said, I am the door, by me if any man enter. You see, my unsaved friend, you have got to enter to get inside. We have doors for four reasons: to go in and out and close and keep people in we want in and the people out we don't want in. And we put locks on our doors. It used to be that you didn't have to lock your doors in Spanish Wells in the early 70s and the 70s, wasn't it? You lock them now. You're better. In the States, we have to lock our doors. But aren't you glad that this door is not locked? Unsaved friend, that door is standing open to you. I believe there's people in hell tonight that's been up to the very threshold of the door. They have seen that Jesus Christ is the way. You here tonight, that's unsaved. You have heard the gospel in this chapel maybe hundreds of times during your lifetime on this island. And you know that it's the way. You see the change that's made in a lot of people and friends and relatives that you have here on this island. But I ask you the question. You've never entered the door, have you? You've been up to it, but you never entered. You've got to enter. He said, if any man enter, that means anyone. God didn't say he's going to save a special few and he's going to send the rest of them to hell. My Bible don't teach that, the limited atonement. I don't want to harp on this thing, but I'll run into it everywhere I go. Brethren telling me, I had a brother tell me just the other day in Albany, Georgia. He said, Smitty, you know the elect is the only ones that's going to be saved. I said, well, I'll tell you what Charles Spurgeon told a lady one time when she told that to him. He said, dear sister, if you will put a tag on them, I'll win them. Amen? You tag them and I'll win them. Now, God foreknows who will believe and who won't believe, but let me say quick, he did not predestinate your choice. That's a choice you must make yourself. And you can make a choice. You can enter that door. Don't tell me you can't enter the door. Somebody can roll you through if you're in a wheelchair. If you can hobble on your arthritis and rheumatism, you can walk through that door. Hobble through it. You can get in. Anyone can get in. And I believe these people in hell has heard the message and knew it. Let me give you some scripture to back it up. And don't twist the scriptures either. In 2 Peter chapter 2, talks about the false prophets. It says they deny him that bought them. What do you mean, bought them? The Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross paid the ransom price for the whole world, for all men. The word ransom means to pay the price that's demanded. The word bought means to buy. And the Lord Jesus bought the whole world. And you see, you know, and you are rejecting and you refusing to enter that door. So it says if you enter in, you shall be saved. I don't know how to make it any simpler. All right, let's move on to the second door, the blood-stained door, or the blood-sprinkled door, to Exodus chapter 12. We won't read the first part of the chapter, that is down through verse 20. We'll start reading with verse 21. Because in the first verses of those 20 verses, God is speaking to Moses and Aaron and giving him the details of the Passover. And we'll begin now with verse 21, where Moses has called all the families together so that they can hear what's about to be done. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. And note this now, and strike the lintel that's here, if you see it, the lintel and the two side posts. And by the way, ladies, that's fingernail polish. I didn't find any red paint, so I just found some red paint playing there for parts of my wife's. And I said, honey, can I use this? She asked me, was I going to paint my lips? I said, no, I'm going to paint this door. He says, then notice this. Strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood, where? Upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. You notice he said, the blood had to be on the door. Now I want you to get the picture here. This is a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. This lamb. All the types of sacrificial offerings that shed blood in the Old Testament is types of Christ's blood for us. That lamb was killed. It was put up. A lamb without spot and without blemish was killed. The blood was caught in a basin. And the blood was sprinkled on the two side posts and the lintel. The firstborn of every family and of the animals would die that night if the blood was not on the door. So we see that the door, when they went in, they closed the door. And the blood is on the doorpost. Let's use a little imagination for a moment. The head of the family was doing exactly what Moses said for God told him to tell them to do. You take a lamb, kill it. You take the blood, and a bunch of hyssop, a little shrub that grows in the Palestine. They say it's very common. And you sprinkle the blood on the side posts and the lintel. The boy, the firstborn, we'll say, is a boy. He may be a young boy, he may be a teenager, he may be a grown boy, man, whatever. He sees this happen. I'm going to grant you, if I was the firstborn in that family, I'd want to see everything was carried out according to what God said. Wouldn't you? I'd want to know that every detail was carried out according to the book. Because one thing failing of what he said do would be disaster for me as a young, as the firstborn in that home. So, the lamb is killed, the blood is shed, and caught in the basin, and brought to the door of the home. And the father, the head of the family, whoever it was, said, okay, son, let's go in. Wait a minute. Dad, didn't God say that blood had to be on the doorpost and the lintel? That's right. Did you know something? Listen to me carefully, unsaved friend. If that young man, whether it was young man, teenager, or what, if he had gone into that house and closed the door without the blood being on the doorpost, he would have died. Although the blood was shed, although the lamb has already died, and the blood was shed, that was absolutely necessary before you could use the blood to sprinkle it. He had to give his blood. He had to give his life. And therefore, the only way he could be saved from this death angel that night that come through was that the blood had to be on the doorpost. The blood of that lamb had to be there. And the lintel. He couldn't be saved. If he'd have went in. That's why I say there are thousands of people, listen to me carefully. I believe there are thousands of people in hell tonight crying. If I had one more chance, I would apply the blood of Christ to my soul. You see, the most important thing about salvation is that you must apply it to your soul, your sins, if you ever miss hell and gain heaven. We sang tonight, there's power in the blood. There's another we sang. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That writer of that song was scriptural in his writing. Nothing can wash away your sins but the blood of Christ. You know why? It was God's way. It's God's plan. It's God's salvation. It was His Lamb, the Lamb of God, that came. That John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So if that son had gone in, there are thousands and thousands of people in these islands as well as all over the world, United States and everywhere. If you would ask them, do you believe that Christ died on the cross, shed His blood for their sins? A lot of them would say yes. Would you ask them a second question? Have you accepted that sacrifice as yours for your sins? Have you applied the blood to the door of your heart? Applied it to your sins? You see, how do you apply the blood to your heart and your sins? When you place faith in Jesus Christ's death, and I emphasize this, not His life, but in His death, His shed blood, His resurrection, when you place faith in that truth, in that person, you see, you can't accept His gospel without accepting Him, and you can't accept Him without accepting His gospel. His gospel is the death, burial, resurrection of his person. So when you accept what he did, you accept him. When you accept him, you accept what he did. You can't separate it. When you accept Christ, you accept what he did for you. And I think it's very necessary that the preachers who preach it, that they emphasize the fact that he died, was buried, and was raised again from the dead. And that's what saves. God says it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there are thousands and thousands that's been, have seen that it's the blood way. You know, blood. It's kind of, you kind of shrink away from it when you see an accident on the highway. Human blood poured out. I saw a woman one time coming out of Pembroke area, coming up through Monroe, North Carolina, a little town, I forget the name of the town. She'd run out off of the road and hit a tree, and she fell out, hanging out the door, and looked like her head was just about off of her neck. And the blood was just going. I didn't stop. I kept going. It was just too bad for me. Blood. But when we talk about the blood of Christ, precious, precious blood. Our brother Lambert this morning prayed a beautiful prayer about that suffering, crucified Savior on the cross. Wounded in his feet, his hands, his brow, his back, his face. And after he was died, the soldier, you would think that was cruel, wasn't it? And it was. But yet he was fulfilling scripture. That soldier took a spear, pushed it into his sock, after he was dead. That's what they did to him. That's what he did for you, my unsaved friend. Christ did all that for you. Have you applied the blood to your soul tonight? Have you? If you haven't, you can believe in this death, shed blood, and resurrection from a mental standpoint and go to hell. And there's going to be people in hell that believed it, but never did apply it to their life. That boy would have gone in without the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. He would have died, although the lamb had died and shed his blood for him, but they failed to put the blood on the door. The one terrible disaster would be to you is fail to accept the sacrifice of God's Son and his shed blood for your sin. Now, we come to the third door. That door is closed. And you know where I'm going, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." Unsaved friend, your heart's door has been closed to Jesus Christ all of your life. You can't be halfway in the door and halfway out. You can't be half saved and half lost. You're either lost or saved now. Not going to be, you are now, tonight. You either saved this moment, or you're not saved. There's no middle ground, there's no halfway. No straddling the fence, no one foot inside and one foot out. No, sir. You're either in or out. We sing a song to the children once in a while. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. Which side are you? I know where I am. I'm on the inside. I came through that door because I applied the blood to my soul and my sins. And I opened the door to the Lord Jesus for him to come in. But he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So I want you to see three things. Really, four things. He's standing, that means he's present at your door. He's knocking. And he's calling. He wants an entrance to come in. Have you heard the knock? You notice something? The latch is on the inside. The Lord could storm the door down and knock it open, but he won't do that. He waits for you to open the door from the inside. There's no latch out here. On the outside. On the inside. You say, Mr. Smith, that's very elementary. Thank you. Thank you very much. Because we better preach the gospel in this elementary way. Simple and to the point. We have confused people with so much depths concerning salvation to the sinner that he's going around in circles. He don't know what to believe. That's all right for Christians, but not for sinners. Preach the gospel simple in its message. The Lord Jesus did. He said, I'm a door. I'm the way of entrance. I stand at the door and knock. How many times have you heard him knocking at your heart's door? How many times you felt the urge, you felt the Holy Spirit's drawing, convicting you that you need salvation? You come to this meeting and listen to the gospel preached maybe every Sunday night of your life if you were well and able. But you never have opened your heart's door to Christ. And Christ come tonight, it'd be too late for you because you know the way. It would be better if you'd never known the way. Because in the tribulation period, if you'd never known the way of salvation, that how it changed to be saved. But those that have not, have known it and rejected it, knowing it's the truth, and wouldn't open their heart's door to Christ, you wouldn't, after the rapture in the tribulation, you would accept the man of sin and his mark. Because he said you're going to starve if you don't. I'll tell you, a starving man do a lot of things. He'll steal, he'll kill almost. He'll do a lot of things to stay alive if he can. It's a terrible day is coming, my unsaved friend. Terrible judgment's coming. God's not judging the world tonight. This is the day of his grace and his mercy. Somebody says, why don't God judge America for homosexuality? Spread in the country. He will in due time, but not yet. There's too many Christians on this earth. God ain't going to destroy the wicked with his saints here. Oh no. He's going to take us out first, and then the judgment's going to fall. I wonder, tonight, would you enter that open door of grace? Would you apply the blood of Christ to your soul and your sin? And would you open your heart's door to the Savior and let him in? You can. You can come. You know that little word, C-O-M-E, is one of the most beautiful words in the Bible. It's a very simple word. Just four letters. C-O-M-E. And you know what it stands for? C stands for children. O stands for old people. M stands for me. And E stands for everybody. Come. Come. Jesus said, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Come. And all that come to me, I will in no wise, under no circumstance, Cast him out. If you come. And you can come. You see, the invitation has come. Let me close by saying this. You remember when Noah had put all the animals of every kind in the ark? And then God said from the inside of the ark, not the outside, God said from the inside of the ark, come thou into the ark. He said to Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives. God was on the inside, and he said, come in through the ark. The invitation to come in. And they had to walk in. They had to enter through that door, as Brother Kendra said the other night. It was high enough for the tallest giraffe to get in. It was wide enough for the largest elephant to get in. It was big enough and little enough for everybody to get in. Come. And when they went in, Moses didn't turn around and shut the door and latch it. God shut them in. And that door could not be opened from anyone on the outside or the inside. And they was as safe could make them, riding the storm of the flood. And you know something about the ark? It had no outboard motor or inboard motor. It had no sails, had no rudder. It was made to just float. And it was balanced perfect to ride the waters of the flood. When God does it, he does it perfect, doesn't he? Hallelujah. When God provides salvation, he gives us a perfect salvation, and it's all in the person of Christ and what he did for you. What you going to do with it? Will you come to him? You can come to him in your heart right where you are. But I'll be glad to sit down with you and show you how to be saved. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your precious word. We ask that the Holy Spirit will take it and apply it to the hearts of those in this room not saved. And that they will respond, Father. Make them to realize that they have a responsibility to believe your word and accept your Son. You're saying that to them now. Make them to know that you love them. You've proven that by giving your Son for them. So we commend them to thee, Father, that they might be saved tonight. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The office will be open over there. I'm assuming that's what Brother Donald's done. If you'd like to be saved, would you go over there to the office? I'll be over in a little bit. And we'll sit down with you and show you from the Word of God how you can absolutely know you're going to heaven. Don't say no. Don't say no to the Lord Jesus. Don't keep the door closed. Hold it.